Evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you tonight to the July 8, 2024 regular city council meeting. Would you all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city and wisdom as our city council makes its decisions tonight. Now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to welcome everyone and move to item 1D tonight, which is the citizen input. If there's anyone here present who would like to address the council, please raise your hand. Kim Bailey.
Thanks for having me and thank you for serving. I know it can be thankless. And thank you for doing the invocation. I love that we do that. This is about the kennels you're planning on building. And someone told me the budget you had in mind. And I just want to remind you of what the previous dog pound looked like. Cinder block building on a dirt lot right next to an industrial thing that carried bees and mice. 5 indoor runs without access to outside. 7 chicken wire fences that they had to keep bringing in bales of hay for in the winter for the dogs and tarps in the summer to protect them. It was an eyesore. Volunteers manned it. We did what we had to do to take care of the animals, but it was an eyesore. And then just compare that to the beauty of what we have at the rescue and compare that to the beauty of what we have here. I remember when Shannon McKay advocated for this building and the pushback he got because of the money, but we have a beautiful building. And so I just don't want the kennels to be a poor reflection of Othello. I want them to be beautiful. And I know you have a budget and I think it's going to allow you to do better than cinder block, but who knows with budgets. But what I'd like to do is ask you to please put money into the landscaping. I know the state used to require a 2% of the budget to be spent on landscaping on buildings that they funded, like school district buildings. And I would just like to ask that we put in some evergreens. I asked this several years ago when we had this daycare up here where I live, behind Hiawatha, and the city agreed and put that in part of their requirements to put in evergreens so it doesn't look like a drug compound. And they didn't keep it up, but it was beautiful while it lasted. I would like to ask the city council to be sure to require irrigation so that we can have in evergreens like Japanese boxwoods or those things that other place put in, arborvita. But something evergreen, I'd like to see that there's, that it doesn't look like a hole in the wall, that it doesn't look like the last one looked like, so that people won't look at it and think it's a dog pound, if we're gonna call it kennels. Let's create some beauty around that. And I don't think it takes very much money. And I know you can landscape for the desert if you have to, but it just can't look like a cinder block building on a dirt lot again. It can't look like something that we hide away. So that's what I came to ask you for.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else? Ernie?
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, council. I've been here before and my name is Ernie Summers. I'm a retired small animal veterinarian. I practiced medicine for nearly 40 years in Omaha, Nebraska. In fact, I still have a clinic there. During my time in Omaha, I spent 22 out of a total of 25 years on the board of directors for the Nebraska Humane Society, served president a couple times during that term. I have been advisor to Pet Rescue for 14 years of the 15 years that I've been moved to Omaha or to Othello. I'm not here at Pet Rescue's request. As you notice, the representatives are not here. They're busy doing what they do best, and that's taking care of what animals and that there. What I am here for is as a concerned taxpayer. And also, I'd like to think that I have the best interest of the animals of, and I include cats and dogs here in Othello. That has been my goal over the 14 years that in that there. And I would like to see that the animals continue to get the best care that you can give them. I'm not here to oppose you $340,000 that you wish to allot to a new pet rescue facility here. Again, if this is going to take better care of the animals, so be it. What I am here for is I really don't see the reason for it in that even the city of Omaha, Nebraska, which in the surrounding county of Douglas County, which was around 750,000 when I was at the Nebraska Humane Society, probably closer to a million now, hasn't seen fit to have a second pet rescue service. To me, this seems like you are spending a extra amount of money and duplicating a lot of services that are already were being formed and that there. And I'd kind of like to know where, just exactly where this $340,000 were coming from. When we were negotiating with Sean, he can verify this, I hope, that the pet rescue had agreed at that time to $100,000. He took it to you guys and he came back and said that all that you wished to spend was $75,000. For this extra $25,000 that you did not wish to spend with Pet Rescue, you are having to build a new facility, phase one, $340,000. What is phase two? How do you have a cost on that yet, Sean?
No.
Even approximation, how much are you going to spend on phase two? Is there a phase three or four? What about the yearly maintenance costs on the building, the upkeep, the utilities, the insurance? Is this going to be paid by Hands and Paws, or are you responsible for some of this? Again, I'm just interested in where this is coming from, because I hear that not only did you not have the $25,000 for us, but you also have not been able to, you've got a problem with the city pool. I know because I've been having to drive my granddaughter to Connell for the Barracuda swim team to so that they can practice in that there. And I know of other instances where money has been declined because you did not have the funds, but yet you came up with the $340,000. Again, if that's going to take care of your animals, so be it. I do want these animals taken care of and that. Are you planning for the future beyond this $340,000? Any thought to that?
Ernie, I appreciate you, your
thoughts. You have a microphone, Sean.
I'm sorry. Maybe I should get this a little closer. Can you hear me better now?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you're representing your position well. I mean, you're asking all the questions that we're asking ourselves. Is there, you know, the phase one is expensive. Is there a phase two? Is there a phase three? Obviously, there's going to be some more that's going to need to be done. But to answer your question directly, the city has had to cut projects in order to get this done. So there's a list of projects that now are not going to be done because of this. The city is, we went through that process with Adams County Pet Rescue, and I just want to refresh your memory. The board sent us a letter emphatically on December 8th saying, no deal but 150, no other deal but 150,000.
Okay. I would like to explain that. That was another one of the reasons here, because I think there may be a little miss in that. I had nothing personally to do with the letter. In fact, if I did, you would have never seen that letter. Somehow, and I'm not going to fault them, because there's a lot of well-meaning people on, as Sean knows, on the Pet Rescue Board. Somehow they thought that was a negotiation tactic that would push you off of your position in that. They themselves assured me that they never did close negotiations. They just stopped hearing from you. I wished you had come to me after that and told me what you were thinking, because Pet Rescue could have helped you in this transition. Again, they're in, quite frankly, it's different at Pet Rescue. They seem relieved not to have to deal with the politics with the city. And also they are having to raise $200,000 less money because of that we were going to need to take care of your animals and that there. So it's relieved. It's relieved some stress. But that letter really was not their final viewpoint. And I'm sorry if you took it as such.
Their letter basically said otherwise, and you weren't on the board.
I know,
at that
and
time.
Ernie,
stop for a second. Can you stop interrupting me, please? So the board, they made it clear what they wanted, and if they wanted something different, they should have came back to us. But no, you're interrupting me again. When they sent that letter on December 8th, the city had to make a decision then. Because the letter said, at the end of the year, we're not taking any of your animals anymore. And that was very clear. So there was no ambiguity with the city council about what the Pet Rescue's position was. So we had to make a decision. Are we going to pay them $150,000, or are we going to have to work out another arrangement? So the city chose to go this other direction, and it was unfortunate, yes. It was an emotional breakup, yes. Really unfortunate. But I think that at some level, the city council felt like their demand and the limited amount of time we had to act really was unreasonable. And okay, because of that unreasonableness, this is why you're here tonight. This is why we're in the position we're in.
Okay. One question. When I was last in negotiation with you, did we not offer $100,000 and you take care of this?
We talked about that.
And you said you would take it to the council.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I will apologize if I'm wrong, but I do not think that letter was sent out until you told us that the city would only pay $75,000.
That's possible.
It wasn't before, it was after.
It's possible.
That letter was sent after. But if you'd have just talked to me, I would have seen that letter, we could have, again, that They swear to me that was not their final offer. That was their idea of negotiation. Unfortunately, negotiations ended and you are now in the position that you are in that there. And I have to say, when I was on the Nebraska Humane Society Board of Directors, there was politics in Omaha. I didn't think I'd get involved in politics when I moved to Othello, but it seems like we are. It's just a smaller scale and that type of thing, but it actually is just as important to people here as it was in Omaha. And you have a dirty job, and I'm feeling that you did not appreciate pet rescue like you should, but I suspect you probably feel the same way, that people don't appreciate what you're doing. I quite frankly would not want to sit in any one of your chairs and that, and I appreciate what you do in that. Did you have any questions of me?
Well, I just want to make this, clear. The city council, it wasn't politics. It came down to money and the value of that contract. And it came down to what this city council was willing to accept. And the other issue where we had a major disagreement was over the level of care and the business conduct of Adams County Pet Rescue. And so we couldn't reconcile those differences. And that isn't politics. That's just, we couldn't reconcile them.
I don't know. I see some politics here, but again, it's over and done. What I want is the best for the animals. And again, I hope that you continue and you don't wait on phase two too long. You have a lot of animals out there right now that are not being taken care of, that type of thing. I think in closing, I think you as a city council did not do enough diligence to know what it takes to run a pet rescue facility. I will not say that as Sean. He was involved with it. He probably does. But another thing I can't understand is how you can make these decisions without knowing what it takes to run it. Also, I don't think you showed the appreciation for what Pet Rescue did over the years for the city of Othello. I know somebody's city council dropped off checks and picked up dog licenses there, but nobody can honestly say they ever took a tour of that in that. Now that you have a new organization taking care of your animals, I hope that you do show more concern and involvement and find out just what is involved with it. And I wish you the success with Hands and Paws. And as a last request, are you going to be doing a report on how many animals you pick up and how you handle them and what you do with them? Is there going to be some form of a report?
It'll be an annual report.
Has there been one yet?
No, it's an annual report.
Okay, it's just going to be done annual?
That's my understanding. I don't have the contract in front of me. It's at a minimum, it's a year. It might be semi-annual, but we'll release those details when they become.
I would like it be made public.
It will be.
And is that possible in that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I thank you. I thank you for putting up with me. And again, please take care of your animals. And don't forget your cats, too. You have a terrible feral cat problem here that hasn't even begun to be you know, taken care of and that they need your help and attention too. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Anyone else who would like to address the city council? Yes, Carolyn.
Carolyn Bunch. I was here last time because I was wondering where you were going to get the $400,000 for the new pet shelter. And now you're faced with needing a new pool. And in talking to my neighbors and friends, the pool is way more important than the animal shelter. So I'm hoping that when you're putting the money out, that you are making sure that people don't want to wait 3, 4, 5 years for another pool. And so I'm wondering if you have gotten any public input, like had a meeting, talk to the public. You know, if you don't have enough money for the pool right now, maybe you need to readjust what you're doing. And I'm just saying this as someone in the community who I have some skin in the game. I have a business in town. And I just I'm concerned about money, a lot of money being sent out for different projects. And I don't, like, I've looked through the minutes and I don't see where there's public input, where they're asking the public to come in and talk. And I don't even see a survey on your website for these kinds of things. It's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that people are getting what they want with their tax dollars. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll answer that. Carolyn, the committee for the Aquatic Task Force is meeting this Friday at noon. Chris Doro is leading that. He led the committee that resulted in us having this pool 17 years ago. And there's a good cross-section of people who wanted to be on and also ones that we selected. There's also 3 members of the Othello City Council, so they can be there. We have professional help is coming and advice. Mirtha was the manufacturer of that pool, and they want to be involved in this process with us to assist. I don't think any of us here are pool experts, and we certainly want to move forward with what the community is willing to will meet the needs of the community, but 2 is sustainable, and 3, this is a community pool, so we're going to have to pay for it as a community. So when we can align all 3 of those things through this process, it is a public process, so it's a concern of ours too. One of the things that we have turned this over to insurance, they're doing their investigation of the pool to find out what kind of insurance coverage we have. And the city council is participating in throughout this process so that they can be aware of how much money this could potentially be. One of the things that we're looking at, Carolyn, is is it cost effective to do our best to rehabilitate the existing pool, which of course is going to be expensive, or are through the process of this committee, are we going to build something that the community wants that's maybe more involved than just the pool, and it may have other features and other aspects to it. So that's what the committee is going to explore. There will be surveys, there will be public outreach, and we certainly want to hear everything. And just so you know, I appreciate you coming tonight to let us know.
It's been really interesting because talking to, like, even just my neighbors in the neighborhood, and, you know, they have kids, and they're like, gee, we don't have a pool. I'm having to drive to Moses Lake or Connell, and why did we find out in May? And, you know, everything I can't answer. But there's also voices out there that are saying, why are we putting money into like the kennels downtown, spending all this money when one of the guys in the neighborhood said, I'd rather use that $400,000 and demolish the pool. We start the demolition on the pool here and then make plans for a new one. I don't know anything about, you know, like I know nothing about demolition, but I mean, those are the kind of things that people are saying. Mm-hmm. And so just wanted you to know that. And also I'm concerned that a lot of tax dollars are going out into different things. And we need to make a decision on what we really need.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else present tonight who would like to address the city council?
Mayor.
Seeing none, I'll move. Excuse me.
I have someone on Zoom that wants me to read their comment. Her name is Erica. And her comment is, I have a comment about the shelter you guys are wanting to build. I feel like it is unnecessary to build another rescue and wasting money on a new one when there is a perfectly good one who has good reputation. As taxpayers, I feel like I would like my money to go to somewhere that has my trust. I also have concerns about how the place the city animals are going to when I have called report a dog and have been told to let it go or keep it. I would like to add pet rescue has always helped when needed, and to be denied to help a dog out, I will not support somewhere that will not help the dogs in need.
Is there anyone else? That will move on into our agenda. Item 1E is a roll call. All council members present, so we'll move to item 2, which is approving tonight's agenda.
I'll make the
motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 3 is consent agenda. Entertain a motion to approve tonight's consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Now, as we move into our current business, I'd like to introduce Valerie Hernandez, who is the city's park and rec coordinator, and she is going to discuss the 2024 Little League All-Star State Tournament in Othello. And I believe there's two tournaments, right, Valerie?
One.
Just one. Okay. Valerie, can you bring the microphone a little closer? Yeah.
This year, 4 All-Star teams, this is just an update and informational agenda. So 4 All-Star teams were drafted, including the boys' major team. They're 12 years old and under the team. And let's see, the 8, 9, 10 minor team was also drafted, both which were finalists in the District 5 tournament. They did really well representing their town, and they played exceptional. They both came back through. They lost one game and came back through the bracket, fought hard. Unfortunately, they lost in the finals, but they did really, really well. It was exciting. There was some posts and pictures, and District 5 does a really good job on Facebook showcasing the kids. So a lot of that information was shared there, and District 5 will also be using their Facebook media to also showcase the kids this next week coming up. So additionally, we had the 11U girls team that received a waiver to state, and that was due to not having sufficient teams in the league. So they got a waiver to state, and they will be participating in Ridgefield, Washington to represent Othello and District 5. We have our 8, 9, 10 minors girls team that were District 5 champions and will represent Othello here at the state tournament. And that is starting on Friday. We have a welcoming ceremony that will introduce all of the teams that are traveling in from around the state to participate in the 10U tournament. We will have some relay races and have our usual, what I'm going to say usual, but we'll vamp it up a little bit, our welcoming ceremony and things that happen there. After that, we will be inviting them, and we also invite the community to a movie night, which will be following the ceremony. And it will be, the movie shown will be The Sandlot. So that was voted upon. We used a the Survey Monkey to ask the community what they'd like to watch. So we are listening to what they voted for, and we're going to go for it, which was fitting because it is a state tournament for softball and baseball is involved, and it's all just fun. So in addition to that, the tournament bracket has been released, and it is posted on our webpage, as I requested, and there are some links that we can use to follow. I will also be adding additional links that will link us to the District 5 tournament, where our district administrator will be posting a lot of the information and updates on the brackets for the week. Any other questions or any questions in regards to the tournament and or the ceremony?
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. Let's move to the approval of the facility use agreement with the Classic Car Club. Valerie, that's okay, item 4B.
Okay. The Othello chapter of the All Cities Car Club has been preparing for their annual spud run and car show scheduled for July 19th and the 20th. Plans include the slow drag race Friday night from 6 to 9 p.m. and the car show Saturday from 8 to 5:30 p.m. As in past years, the club is requesting to close off Main Street from 4th Avenue to 7th Avenue for the slow drag slash parade. The cars permitted in the show drag will only be those that are participants in the car show on Saturday. The Othello chapter of the All Car Club will work with the Public Works Department and the Police Department to obtain the cones and barricades, which we've already had our pre-meeting, and that's all set and ready to go. Event vendors are to coordinate with the car show representatives to adhere to the City of Othello's business license requirements. And in our budget, due to the estimated attendance of 500 people at Kiwanis Park for the Saturday car show, the Othello chapter will pay $237.50 for the special event fee. They are a nonprofit organization. There were no additional items requested, so the only additional cost would be the $520 damage deposit. And staff recommends that the City Council approve the use of the Main Street on July 19th and Kiwanis Park for July 20th by the Othello chapter of the All City Classic Car Club.
Questions, Council? Great event. All right, I'd entertain a motion then to approve the facility use agreement with a special event application for the All Cities Classic Car Club.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Now I'd like to move to item 4C, which is a discussion, not a vote, but a discussion on a proposed ordinance adopting. It's basically a failure to supervise a minor ordinance. And tonight we have our police chief, Dave Rim. Dave, do you want to walk the City Council through this proposed ordinance?
Gladly. Thank you, Council, for taking part in this discussion. This ordinance, the history came to when we were watching ordinances around other sections of the state. And this ordinance has passed through Pasco and Kennewick, so it's coming this way. The subject is failure to supervise a minor is a relatively new, has yet to be court tested. The ordinance is similar to ordinances adopted by Oak Harbor, Pasco, and Kennewick. The proposed ordinance outlines behaviors where parents or legal guardians can be issued a citation through the Othello Municipal Court. Washington State has similar laws regarding criminal mistreatment of a child. And also the Othello Municipal Code does have one that I was able to find, and it's failure to supervise during if somebody's firing off fireworks. It's on the Othello Municipal Code books already. So this is a new law, a new idea that we have, and it's a way to hold parents responsible for the actions of their children. Reading the ordinance, it does give some, I'd say some discretion on when and how it's going to be used, and that would also be utilized with the training of the department. Law enforcement in the state of Washington has changed a lot in the last 3 or 4 years, and a lot with juvenile law. And there's just some things that we can't do anymore. And so what this would do is give another tool to law enforcement officers to hold people responsible. In the example given for the fireworks, that's an infraction. That's a civil infraction. This is a misdemeanor, which could hook on to restitution if it's available and appropriate. And that would all go through the court. But after discussing this with our legal counsel, she asked that the discussion come here first before we put up for a vote regarding the adopt the ordinance or not. Because it is new. It is not something that's out there.
What are the warning signs?
It could be many things. I'd say a police contact, especially police contact for criminal activity by the youth, you know. And so if we get somebody that's 3, 4, 5 contacts, we got a supervision problem right now. And our last couple of shootings, we're having very young juveniles with guns right now. And so this would be a tool that we can go, mom and dad, you got to step it up.
So if those kids are getting a hold of guns and shooting people, they're past the point of parent supervision.
Mm-hmm.
Those parents are going to have no influence on those kids whatsoever. I got to tell you, I'm not for this.
Yeah.
I think you're holding the wrong people responsible for it. So, the problem is when you get these kids that's getting in trouble, mm-hmm. the parents, so now they're in a lose-lose situation. They've already lost their kids. Okay, so now they've lost their kids, and now the city's going to go after them. They're in a rock and a hard place.
I agree that those families exist exactly how you described, Councilman. But also, there's those families that the parents facilitate, and that would be something that we want to address this with.
So how does this affect, like, a family that says, "Okay, I cannot control this kid anymore. Get the hell out of my house."
Okay, so how that works is that. First, if the child is under the age of 18, already in the state of Washington, you can't have a throwaway kid. You're as a parent, you're still responsible for that child until the age of 18.
So this falls back on the lose-lose on the parent.
I don't think so. I think this is an opportunity, right, for give the government another leg in to help a family that's going wayward.
It's a way to give the government
government
to throw rocks at parents.
Involved in the family.
But if the parents are not doing their job already, all right, and there's not enough tools, think those parents, hey, your child is in trouble. You need to sacrifice some of your time and help your child. Give you an opportunity to do that. Yes, it comes with some penalties, but those penalties can be negotiated away. The parent changes their behavior, and it helps address their child issue.
So once the influence of, let's say, the gangs in McFarland, once the influence of those gangs get a hold of that kid, those parents are out of the question.
But we got to do something.
You can't. So the parents have already lost the kid. The parents can't get rid of the kid. He just, Chief Rims just said, you can't get rid of the kid. So now they've lost the kid. Like I said earlier, they've lost the kid. And now the city's going to throw rocks at them? No.
It's an opportunity.
Absolutely. How are you going to change if the gangs or whatever have already got influence over those kids?
Because I believe the juvenile system would probably intervene and allow for counseling.
Exactly.
Oh, so let the juvenile
system. And it could become court ordered.
Too much family intervention. I mean, it's government in intervening in family affairs. I really don't support that. Okay, well, what happens if the father of this kid, the boy, let's say it's a male individual, for instance, joins a gang, does something wrong, the father wants to discipline him the only way he knows how to, the way his father disciplined him, and he kicks the crap out of the kid. Kid calls the cops and says, my dad beat me up. Who are you going to arrest?
Right. On both counts.
Right.
Because the kid broke the law.
a parent who's disciplining in a manner that's detrimental.
You know what scared me the most when I was a kid growing up? Is that my dad would get mad enough at me for doing something wrong.
But a lot of
to knock the crap out of me.
Don't have the right tools to help discipline their children. They're not equipped with tools.
Well, before we go any farther with this, my recommendation would be that we get the judge involved because she's the one that's going to be handling these and find out what her opinion is, what she's got for background on, you know, whether or not she even wants this in her court system. And then open up more discussion. But I'm with Corey. I don't like to see the government being involved in the family affair. So even though it can be used to protect the children, it could be used to damage the family entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another avenue? Is there
you can do that through your church. You can do that through relations.
Juvenile services. So right now, like the chief said,
odds are they've gone down that road already.
Tools are very limited.
And so what this could be used is that the things that you've got to take part in those social services.
Is Hillary on the call?
This is something that might have worked 30 years ago. And this actually came up. I remember this coming up in this city probably 20 years ago, and it got shot down then, you know.
So that was the Parental Responsibility Act that we had. And the one of the biggest problems with that one is that it involved a curfew. And so that's why we lost that the most.
But this might have worked 30 years ago when parents still had better, when the kids didn't have the influence in the schools and out in the community that they have now. I just think this is throwing rocks at parents that are already struggling, you know.
It just makes me feel uncomfortable. It does. It more involvement by the government in family affairs. But look, I'm willing to listen to somebody like the judge, our lawyer. You know, I'm not saying I can be convinced that we need something like this, but it needs to be vetted very carefully of what we're trying to accomplish and not being something that can come back on, you know, be used by the children against their parents.
Right. And just so council
can do that anyway.
So council,
there's
I'm sure that there's always bad ones. Somebody asked here, who's all doing this? And you're the only one that holds your hand up. Yeah, that's not this case. So these types of laws are coming around right now.
Yeah.
Chief, you said the city of Pasco implemented a similar ordinance. And if you could research what their success rate is with enforcing this ordinance?
I can look. I haven't looked that far up.
Yeah, or more information would be.
Yeah.
Would be good. And involving the judge and seeing what she has to say about
and
the
our
municipal
counsel.
Court.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And our counsel. The lawyer.
I think there needs to be, we need to visit with the judge. Okay. What were you going to say something, Danae? I'm sorry, I cut you off.
Just visiting with the judge and additional information, you know, more discussion and more information before we make the decision.
Yeah, we want a discussion tonight. That's what we want.
Yeah.
Before we move on, is there any other discussion that anybody wants to have about it? Okay. We'll bring back more information for the council. Now we're going to move to item 4D, and also while I'm doing that, I got a text message from our IT director that asking if Danae and Daryl can make sure their mics are unmuted. It should show green on there.
Sorry.
Yes, so Kiwanis Park, we received a grant to build a futsal court. And tonight we have with us our engineering tech, Cameron Williamson, and he put together the bid and the specs on this particular project. And Cameron, do you want to inform the council of where we're at with that and what you have planned?
Yeah. So thank you, council.
Microphone closer.
A little closer. How's that? There we go. So on July 1st, we had our bid opening for the Kiwanis Park Futsal Project. We had 25 people or so on the plan holders list, and we got a whole two bids on the project. We had a bid of $342,703 from Exco LLC, and our apparent low bid was $334,208 from Doug Excavation LLC. The engineer estimate was $286,622. So that puts the lowest bid at $47,000 and change above what we were estimating. The original budget for the project, with $350,000 being a grant from RCO, and a $95,000 match from the city, $445,142 total. That still leaves almost $111,000 left to take care of the other half of that grant, which is renovating the restrooms in Kiwanis Park. The estimate on that restroom remodel is $68,000. So we still have plenty of funds as long as the bids come in less than $111,000. Looking at that grant, there is no specification saying that everything in that grant for the restroom remodel has to be done all in one hit. As long as we take care of the big ticket items, which are updating to ADA standards, we can use the rest of the funds to acquire materials, and we can either hold those aside, get those done at a later date, or have Public Works staff come in and do the outside remodel at a later time. So there's still plenty of money left in the grant. Staff recommends that council award the project to Doug Excavation for $334,208.16. And we can get going on our Kiwanis Park renovation.
Any questions, City Council?
So did the bathrooms go out for bid also?
Yeah, we also had a bid opening on the same day for the restrooms, and we did not receive a single bid. So we are going to rewrite the spec a little bit, make sure we have all of our bases covered, and then reach out to local contractors for a request for bids and see if we can get a little closer to home, or try again with MRSC and do another rebid.
Who did the engineering bid? Pretty confident in the figure you came up with?
I was. We researched a lot of it. But there were a couple things that they were much higher on, and there were things that they were lower on. So as it balanced out, I was $47,000.
It looked very close. In a lot of items looked very close. And then
there were just a couple that were, So, and every time we do this, it's a learning process, and futsal is a new project to me. So we came as close as we could.
Okay, good. Good. Well, I'll make a motion to award the Kiwanis Park Futsal Court project to Doug's Excavation LLC in the amount of $334,208.16.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. We're going to talk about the approval of a budget for the animal shelter kennels. And tonight I want to introduce our city engineer, even though she's already commented, Robin Adelson. Robin, do you want to explain this project to the city council?
Yeah. So as you know, as it's already been discussed, we discontinued our agreement with Pet Rescue, and we have a temporary kennel set up. The agreement was that we would put a larger temporary facility together. And Hands and Paws had looked at getting a temporary facility that was all encompassed and it would just be delivered. And when we actually built that out to the specifications that were required, it came out in at $250,000. So if we're going to spend $250,000 on a temporary kennel, then we might as well look at what it's going to do, take to put in a permanent shelter. So when we sat down with Hands and Paws, the diagram that I had as an attachment is kind of what we came up with, that we end up with 32 kennels that have indoor outdoor space, that there's a possible puppy area, a cat facility, and the big community room, so that they can do spay neuter clinics, as well as a medical room that's just your standard intake if there's any issues, and a isolation station. So if there's anything that comes in with kennel cough or parvo, they can isolate them. So the idea is that there will be 12 kennels originally, 6 that are quarantine and 6 that are standard. So that's her initial 12 kennels. And she'll have an office and a restroom and those 2 medical rooms. That's that first 27 feet. When we got a quote for the installation of a rigid frame metal building with concrete installed, they think they fell of this building for $250,000. So we now have to go and put together, is it feasible to put in the whole 6,500 foot building and then build out the interior? Or do we want to start with that first 27 feet and then add later the additional length? So we're looking at budget wise, $340,000, which was discussed at a finance committee meeting of where we're pulling those funds from, what projects we can push off to next year to put in the budget so that we can get this accomplished. So we would recommend the council implementing the building of this with a budget of $340,000 so we can see what we can get built for that.
So I got a question. So we have 6 kennels right now? Temporary?
I believe, yeah. There's.
And are those full all the time? Or are they? So are we going to need 32 kennels if we're getting by with 6 right now?
Ultimately, that's what the city council had, when we had this discussion last fall and we were going through the budget, that we were going to build a facility that had the capacity for 32 kennels. So this is a major step towards that because there's a lot of, you know, as people have pointed out tonight, and are correct, we've got to develop a lot of development work yet before we get to the final product. But this is a major step towards that. And as Robin said, she's looking for the budget approval because the council has never given budget approval in this process. And this would give her the go-ahead then to write specs, put together some pricing, and then go to bid and come back to the council with the bids. And are you planning on bidding this 2 ways, Robin, or?
Yes, so we're planning to look at it as just that initial 27 foot build, completely put in all of the ventilation, everything that would need to be done for the full build out, or the whole building and see how much interior we can get done.
So we'll come back with some options for the council. And ultimately, council is going to have to approve anything that's done. But this was our next step. This was the first time that we've been able to come to you with any kind of a budget amount.
Yeah. You're doing exactly what we asked for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When we had our discussions. But one thing I would like to have the city do is to make the clarification of what we are doing. Okay. Because there seems to be a misinterpretation of what this is a shelter. It's not a rescue. We're taking these animals, putting them in the shelter, and then shipping them out.
adopting them, caring for.
Well, no, they will. If they will go from done. The city possession to hand and paw possession. This is a city facility, not a pet rescue.
It's a shelter.
It's a shelter.
Yeah, we're not involved with holding these dogs, saving these dogs, spending money on these dogs or cats or animals in any way, shape, or form. There's another entity involved in.
Yeah, and they agreed in contract that they would be responsible for any veterinary bills. They'd be responsible for upkeep and maintenance on this new facility. But they're not your old-fashioned dog pound, as Kim Bailey described earlier. They are very humane. They have adopted quite a number of animals. We've had a lot of members. There's been a number of members in the community that have assisted Hands and Paws in helping get, foster these dogs. That's another thing that while we don't have a very big facility currently, and they're in temporary quarters at the Public Works 2 building, you have members of the community that are stepping up, and because they love animals and they're fostering these dogs, which means they're caring for them, they're feeding them, playing with them, and they're assisting Hands and Paws in finding new homes for these dogs, and that's how the new age of animal care has gone, with whether it's a rescue shelter or our particular facility. We're looking at this humanely, and I know we can't save them all, but we're going to save everything we can. So that's our philosophy in this process with Hands and Chili's Hands and Paws philosophy, but I just want to communicate that to the council.
So I have a question for Robin. So the $250,000 for the building, that's a little more than a guess, right?
That's a little more than what? A
little more than a guess.
Yes. We did a spec sheet from, it's a kennel facility that makes these, they're like a portable, is the best way I can describe it. So they come on skids and they get delivered as a portable, basically, that you hook up to water, sewer, power. And that is what we specified. We needed a mini split for the HVAC. We needed an office, a bathroom, and a dozen kennels, and how we wanted that to look. And that's what they came back with. It was $253,000.
So this is just a building that's coming in.
That would be that.
Have you looked at building a building?
That's what, so this that I attached is us building a building.
Okay.
And you said it was a metal pole building.
Yes. So it's a rigid frame metal building.
Mm-hmm. The tower.
No, the $253,000 was that portable with kennels. So that's what originally we had agreed to. We would get something like that temporarily and see how long we could make that work until we needed to build something else. But when we got that price tag back, we decided if we're spending $253,000, we might as well build something that is more sustainable.
So do you have an idea what the building's going to cost?
So when I called, that was also $250,000. That's where you're. Yeah.
Okay.
So when I called it about the rigid frame to get a quote on to see how much, ballpark we're going to be, he said with the concrete and the building installed, delivered and installed, it would be that $250,000.
So that's
only by square feet. But.
So that's only going to leave $90,000 to furnish the inside of it with the kennels, do the electrical work, do any kind of insulation.
Correct. So that's why we want to bid it two separate ways. Do we want just the shell and what little we can get for kennels with that $90,000? Or do we want to do the first 27 feet so you have a dozen kennels and you have medical rooms in the office and everything? So that's why we want to look at two different options.
Okay. So I just kind of want to make a comment that Miss Bailey had said earlier about the landscaping. You need to add a couple grand in there for landscaping, because she's 100% correct. She is.
Well, it should look like a nicely kept city facility.
Right. So it needs to include fencing for all of it and have gates so it's a gated area so that not just anyone can show up.
Yes.
So there are some...
There's going to have to be some road work down there, too. The roads down there are horrible.
Especially when it rains and especially in the spring.
And when...
Yes.
We're looking at access to see what way is the best way to access it.
Okay. Thank you.
Committee.
So if you did do the full shell, you would have all the plumbing and everything in the whole thing for that plan?
So if we do the whole shell,
right,
it is just the shell of the building. And then whatever.
No concrete floor.
And right. And then we can just see how much we can get done.
Okay.
Anything else? You want to approve this budget then?
This budget item.
I'll make the motion to allow a call of bills to build the city animal shelter with the budget of $340,000.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Now we're going to move to item 4F, which is approving a restriping of Pine Street. And Robin, I guess you're still on the agenda here tonight. Yep. So
there is currently perpendicular parking in front of the park at Pine Street and then parallel parking on the opposite side with very wide driving lanes for a 20-mile-an-hour road. So if we adjust the parking and restripe it and make them angle parking on both sides of the street, it narrows our driving lane. So on weekends like the 4th of July, Cinco de Mayo, that are big weekends at the park, it slows traffic because they're narrow lanes. So people naturally slow down. So while there's big events and there's lots of people crossing the road and there's lots of activity, we want people to slow down. So it naturally makes that happen. During any weekday when there's not very much parked there, then you won't hardly notice the difference. But for those busy weekends, it will help produce the traffic flow. So we're bringing this to council because it is a major change on our road. And so we are chip sealing this section of road anyway this summer. So with the restriping budget that Public Works has, we would like to restripe this section of road.
Make it one way too. It's dangerous down there. I went down there on this 4th and it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy.
Yeah, you need to drive very slow down that street. Very slow, even when it's not busy.
Right. And it is posted at 20 miles an hour, but there's a speed hump at one end and there's still people that fly down that.
No.
They forget about that hump too.
They do.
Has anybody looked at putting more of those? Because that's a big one.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Well, that was one of the things that was given to us, the Planning Commission, when they did their road safety suggestions.
Down by
those big humps around areas where there are schools and parks. And
that's what we should put down.
Down by where we put the trail, the blacktop trail, we should put another bump. And then next to that gazebo area seems to be where people like to enter to go to the new playground and stuff. So another one there so that we slow people down in those areas where there's people coming in and out of the park.
Yeah. Those kind of traffic calming measures.
We just got an award for what we've done already.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back and see if we can get some more awards.
Safety. What's that grant? Isn't that Safe Routes to School?
Yeah.
Is there any other safety? I mean, I know we're in the middle of a local road safety program.
Yeah.
We have a consultant that's working on that.
you have built a trail through the park that kids for Hiawatha that live on this side of the park can use to cut through. So that could be considered a safe route to schools.
Right.
If you put a...
That's true.
I'm just saying, let's take a shot. Let's see what we can do to do that.
And I really like those big raised...
So I do have a question, though. So if we are chip sealing that anyways, and it's going to have to be painted again anyways, why do they need another $15,000 to repaint?
Because there's striping maintenance that Public Works has. That's a budget item that we have. So when we decided to do the chip sealing, we didn't include that section of striping.
Which is the parking spaces.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. So they're not talking about when they chip seal, they'll paint the
center line.
The road. The center line and the white lines.
No, what I was saying, it should have been added in there. It should have been added in there because it's painted now. So the paint, it should have been added in there
There's a lot of lining for those parking spaces lines. That isn't there. I think that's probably what that $15,000 is for.
The design work for parking has to be done before you even put paint down. You have to
do that as well. So if we are asking them to do it, you're not typically when they come and restripe, they're flagging the existing stripes and they're just repainting them. Where this is it, you're completely changing it. So we'd have to lay all that out. So it's more expensive to have them do it than for Public Works to just go in and restripe it.
So we do have the money in the TBD fund. And so, or the street fund, whichever part of the budget this is coming out of. So this isn't any new money. We just basically wanted permission to move forward in this manner.
Oh, I'll make the motion to allow restriping Pine Street from 7th to 11th Avenue with the budget of $15,000.
I'll second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Robin. I did want to say that path that goes through the park, I think this is the first time we've had the 4th of July with that path and, you know, having walked down there and having the vendors on either side and that being, you know, in the mid-90s, the temperature, and having that in the shade, that was really nice. It really made that a lot nicer. I mean, I think that everybody who's been to that event knows that you stumble through the park and the grass and just having a smooth paved surface like that just was really nice. And that was paid by a grant too. Let's move to our unfinished business. Item 5, council. Unfinished business tonight. None. Is there any new business you'd like to bring up? Yeah, John.
Speaking of striping, has anybody noticed Main Street? The striping is gone. It's not noticeable.
It's the same way on Broadway.
Right here on Main Street, it's dulled out to nothing. So I was wondering if...
needs a refresh?
Yeah. Usually the state comes through about this time of year.
The state will be doing Main Street this year. I'll have to check and see if they're doing Broadway, but part of their striping. This is the last year that the state is doing that, but they are planning to come through and Main Street is on that list.
So something will be done?
Yeah, when we chip sealed all that last year, in my opinion, they didn't do a good job of striping last year. It faded quick.
Yeah.
How can I oppose?
I imagine there's different types of paint that they paint on roadways, and we got the lesser of the
or maybe they
brands.
didn't get the beading on it.
Yeah, hard to say.
The beading I think seems to make it last a lot longer.
Did we ever get the repair work done on the the bump, speaking of the bumps up on Pine Street, the one that we had, the crosswalk portion of it, the white deals that they put in, did they ever go back and repair those?
So I contacted that contractor about 2 months ago, let them know, they notified. I do believe it was Stripe Right that did that work. Sent them pictures. They're going to have to order more thermoplastic to lay that down. We finally got our DOT inspection on the Scutney and 14th Hawk signal and the connectivity trail. And that was the only comment that WSDOT had, were those thermoplastic lines on that crosswalk. They are still not done. I actually called that contractor today, seeing where we were at on that process. She tried giving him a call, no answer. So he's going to try and get back to me on that.
Okay.
Do we have signages on that for like warning signs for the people driving on that? Because I have had comment from people in the community that we need signs there because they forget that it's there and that thing could launch you.
Well, then they're doing more than 20 miles an hour.
Exactly, they are.
So let them be launched. Let them be launched.
But we probably should have some warning signs.
Eric, can we go back to old business? I want to bring something up that our engineering tech had mentioned. The Hawk system on 14th and Scutney last October, it was a consensus of the council, all except for Councilman Barnes, who wasn't here yet, that we wanted that Hawk system moved. Mm-hmm. We budgeted money for it, and I'm just kind of curious if anything's been done on that yet.
Yeah. So a couple things. In investigating it, it's a lot higher figure than I think the $75,000 that was given before. Okay. And it's probably closer to $200,000 to $250,000 because there's a lot of electrical work that's going to go into that. The other thing is we did schedule a committee meeting to discuss that last week, but council members were unable to attend. So it was basically just a staff meeting to rehash it. So that's being worked on, and we'll reschedule a new committee meeting. I know work schedules has been tough, especially this time of year for construction, which Mark and John are involved in. So it might have to be a meeting before the city council meeting or something, but it's not forgotten.
I'll be fine. Any time in the afternoon after 3 for me works good.
3. All right. Well, we'll reschedule that meeting. Okay. I had one thing on new business, and that is, and I think I mentioned it earlier in the meeting, the Aquatic Task Force is meeting with Chris Doro this Friday at noon here at City Hall. So city council members that are a part of that, which are, Danae is, Gina is, and who was the third member?
I think it's Angel, myself, and Angel? John.
It's not me.
Parks and Rec.
Yeah, so it's John, myself, and Angel.
Gina, John, and Angel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
Okay, Danae, you can go for me as an alternate, or Corey. I can't make noon meetings anymore.
I can go on Friday if Corey's fine with that.
This Friday at noon.
I couldn't make that anyway.
So, okay.
So this Friday will be Gina, Danae, and Angel.
You're the alternate, right?
But you can zoom in. Okay. We'll set that up. Okay. Item 7 is council will receive the Lighthouse Community Center report for the second quarter and the engineering department report for June. No further business to come before the city council. I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:15 p.m.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
So last week, there was a guy